You can be seated. It's healing night tonight. Hallelujah. All night. Healing night. All night. Receiving night. Just like we've been singing about. Go with me, if you would, to Mark, the 5th chapter. Mark chapter 5. And they didn't know it beforehand, but the title is the same as the song we've been singing. Her faith made her whole. Hallelujah. Her faith made her whole. Now, a key to revelation. Anybody want to know how to get more revelation?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's not everybody. I'm about to tell you something big. How do you care about revelation?
Yes.
Revelation means the precious things of God are revealed to you. You didn't see it. You didn't know it. But now you do. Is that life changing?
Yes, sir.
It is.
Yes.
So I'm asking you again. Anybody interested in more revelation? Okay. You must hear God's things as though you've never heard them. Y'all with me? If you don't, you'll miss out. Why? If you're hearing it like you've heard it 300 times, you're not expecting something you haven't heard. And you're not acknowledging that there's a lot there you haven't heard. You're acting like you've already know it. And that will keep the doors closed to new revelation. How about Mark chapter 5 and the woman with the issue of blood? Huh? Can you hear it like you've never heard it before? Huh? If you do, I'm telling you, no questions. If you do, you will see some things you've not seen before. You will hear some things you've not heard before. And that's how faith comes. By hearing. And hearing by the anointed word. In the 5th chapter of Mark, it's also recorded in the 9th chapter of Matthew. It's also recorded in the 8th chapter of Luke. Is this account of the woman who had an issue of blood? It is such, like all the Word of God, it is so marvelous. It is so wonderful. And there's so much that's just been passed over, ignored, not paid attention to. But here's something you need to be settled about. God never changes.
Hmm?
And He is no respecter of persons. Hmm? Why? So whatever happened with her is supposed to happen again today. Whatever happened for her is supposed to happen for you and other people. Do you believe it or not? It's not just history or something to look back on and say, oh, wouldn't it have been great to be there and see that. That's not why it's given to us. Thank God He never changes. Thank God He's no respecter of persons. Said out loud, what He did,
He
will do.
What He did for them,
He will do for us.
Thank you, Lord.
It is written.
Yes.
It is written. Has to be this way. So let's read it like we've never heard it before. In fact, I'm going to read this out of one way I practice that is by reading it or listening to it in a different translation. Because then it kind of jars me to pay more attention. And I'm endeavoring to hear. Because I know there's things in there I hadn't heard before. Things I hadn't seen. And really, the enemy, he just works nonstop to blind people from things. It's not that God's things are so hard to understand. It's not that they're top secret and He's trying to keep them from you. It's because of where we are living. There is such darkness. and there is such confusion. And you go to understand something from God, and the enemy will do everything he can to distract you, disturb you, confuse you, anything.
That's right.
And you have to be laser focused, right? And if you don't get it the first three times, you got to make up your mind, I'm getting this.
Yes, sir.
Right? Not because God's trying to withhold it from you, because the enemy's trying to keep you from seeing it, but he can't if you won't give up. So somebody say,
I'm getting this.
Yeah, you are. And so the Young's literal translation of Mark 5:24. Jesus went away with him, that's Jairus, and there was following him a great multitude, and they were thronging him. And a certain woman having an issue of blood 12 years and many things having suffered under many physicians and having spent all that she had and having profited nothing, but rather having come to the worse. Now, there was a lot of people got healed in Jesus' ministry, thousands upon thousands. But we're only given a handful of individuals and the detail about what happened, what was wrong with them, how they received, that kind of thing. So we're to understand these handful that's recorded in the scriptures, they are hand-picked by the Holy Spirit, right? Because they cover all the bases. And it's inspired, it's living. And so whatever happened there applies to everybody in every generation as the centuries go by. The living word. So go ahead and say it out loud, Lord, show me how this applies to me. Amen. You know, like Mary said, Lord, let it be to me according to your word. That's how she received the miracle. And the scripture said, verse 27, having heard about Jesus, this is where it all changed. Oh, hallelujah. This was the beginning of her miracle. Faith comes by hearing. Hallelujah. If she hadn't heard about Jesus, there wouldn't be the rest of the story. This is where it all started. And that's where it always starts. Faith comes by hearing. She heard about Jesus. What did she hear? The book of Acts talks about how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about, doing good and healing. Amen. All who were oppressed by the devil because God was with him. Hallelujah. He wasn't going around making people sick.
No.
He wasn't going around telling people, I'm sorry, it's God's will, you'll just have to endure. No, everybody that came to Jesus to be healed was healed.
That's right.
Not one exception.
Right.
Now, there were people he came to, like his own hometown, that didn't accept him and didn't receive, but that wasn't his fault. But everybody that came to him to be healed left healed.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Are we seeing the will of God when we're seeing that? Certainly. When did he change? When did he quit? Did the Lord just get tired of healing stuff and healing business and say, you know, well, we had a good run with that. And I'm doing a new thing now. He doesn't change. He never changes. Jesus spent a big part of his earthly ministry ministering healing. A big part of it. And so she heard about Jesus. She came in the multitude behind. So she came up behind him and touched his garment. Now if you read Matthew's account and Luke's account, it brings out, she touched his clothes. She didn't actually touch his skin. She just touched the cloth that was on him. And the hem of his garment. And for she said, oh, don't miss this one. Huh? I said, don't miss this. She said something. Why is this one, out of all the thousands of people healed, why is this one of the ones the Lord said, I want this in the book. I want it recorded for every generation to read and hear and know. Why? Because she did it right. I said, she did it right and got immediate results. Are y'all with me now? For she said, come on, somebody say, she said.
She said.
She said. You don't separate faith from saying. Faith and saying go together. Saying is the number one action to release faith. It's not the only action, but it's the first. And it's how you received the new birth. Isn't it? How were you born again? How are people saved? First, you got to hear something. Is that right? You got to hear the good news. You got to hear the gospel. You hear the truth about how mankind is lost, hopelessly lost, can't save themselves. But a Savior came. He took upon himself the judgment for us all. He was judged in our place. He died on the cross. He was raised from the dead. He's alive. He's our Savior. Receive him. Right?
Yep.
Believe these things are true. Believe God has raised him from the dead. What else have you got to do? Come on, what else have you got to do? Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. She said. What did she said? We're given exactly what she said. And this is the Young's literal. If even his garments I may touch, I shall be saved. Well, that's the word sozo. And King James says what? Whole. I shall be, put up the King James so we get that too. If I touch but his clothes, something could happen. This is so important. Huh? I'm going to give it a shot. Huh? Now, if you're here tonight and you want to receive a healing, you have to do this. It's not optional. If you're not confident enough to do this, you're not ready to receive. I know people don't like to hear that, but there's no need playing games. If you play games and you don't get results, that just discourages you. If you don't do what? Before anything happened with her, she said, huh? If I just touch just the clothes, huh? Something could happen. No. No. If it's God's will. No. Somebody say, what's wrong with that? Everything is wrong with that. Why? Well, shouldn't you, you know, say that about everything? You can't be in faith until you get that settled. If you're still questioning the will of God, you are not in a place to have faith to be healed. You can't. Well, I know I have faith. Faith for what? I believe in God. Yeah, but that's not faith to be healed. Come on, are you with me? I believe God can do anything. Yeah, but that's not faith to be healed. That's not faith to receive. And that's where so many people get confused and they're adamant and because not listening. Not listening. God is not at fault. God is not slow. Huh? God is not behind. The problem is not God. The problem is a serious, serious lack of faith throughout the whole body of Christ. Faith is terribly absent and low because of not hearing the truth, because of not acting on the truth, because of hearing error. Having people stand up in the pulpit tell you it might not be God's will for you to be healed. Planting seeds of doubt and fear. Well, there's no way you'll have faith to receive a healing and you're still pondering and wondering if it is or if it's not. Am I telling you the truth or not? Hold your place here. Go to the book of James. James chapter 1. Why are you being so straight, Brother Keith? Because we're receiving healing tonight. We're not playing. Huh? This is not my first healing service. And I've seen how it didn't work. And I've seen how it did work. And I'm only interested in does work. Yes. How about you?
Yes.
Woo.
Thank you.
Glory to God. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, do what? Huh? Well, I just know that God knows what I need and he'll send it. That's not what he said. He said, ask for it. Ask for it. And God gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given you if you ask for it.
Yeah.
What if you don't ask for it? Well, you won't get it.
Right.
But God wants you to have it.
Yeah.
He wants us to have it, which is why he said, ask for it.
Yeah.
Ask for it.
Right.
Look at your neighbor, help him out and say, ask for it.
Yeah.
Ask for it. See, that's not just tonight, that's tomorrow. The moment you come up on something and you're thinking, I don't know what to do about this. Don't wait another minute. Ask for wisdom. Ask for understanding. Ask for direction because he does know what to do. He already knows. And he said he'd tell you. The wisdom of God includes the entire plan of God. It's called the wisdom of God. Now keep going, verse 6. But there's a qualifier here. There's a condition. Let him ask what?
In faith.
And then gives you some understanding about what faith is. Nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything. So now he's gone beyond wisdom. And he's talking about anything. Would that include healing?
Yes, sir.
Or anything else? Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord because, he goes on to say, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What's double-minded? Maybe he will, maybe he won't. Maybe it's his will, maybe it's not. You just never know. That's why people don't receive. I didn't write this. Well, we'll pray and then we'll see what happens. There's no faith in that. You're not decided. You're not settled. Go back to Mark 5. Why is this woman in the book? Come on, help me out. Why is this woman in the book? She did it right. She got results. She got results immediately. She heard about Jesus. That's where it all started. You can't have faith. Faith doesn't come till you hear. But then that's not the end of it. You got to release that faith. Faith without an action is dead. You got to release the faith. And the number one thing to do that with is right under your nose. It's your mouth. And so she said, tell me what she said. Come on, help me out. Tell me what she said. She said, if I may but touch his clothes. Now, that was going to take some effort. Because she's been sick. She's had an internal bleed, a hemorrhage. for 12 years. She's gone through all kind of operations, all kind of treatments. Dr. Luke said, he's a physician, in Luke 8, he said neither could she be healed of any. In other words, her condition with the medical science of the day was incurable. Nobody could help her. And she spent every dollar she had trying to get help. Now, that's no accusation against the medical profession. We thank God for the medical profession. They're fighting the same thing we're against, right? Sickness, disease. But it's too soon, too often, that men can look at you and go, there's nothing we can do. Then what do you do? Well, you need to know that with God, all things are possible. So it's possible to not die, but to live and declare the works of God and actually run your whole race and finish your whole course. And so with long life, He satisfies you and shows you His salvation. And I'm preaching good. Is it true or is it true? It's true. It's true. And so when she heard about Jesus, what did she hear? She heard that everywhere He went, people were getting healed. Is that right? Miracles were happening. People were getting delivered. People were getting healed. People were getting restored. Even signs and wonders. She heard about it before He showed up. Right? The fame of Him spread abroad about all these things. Is it true today that the fame of the Lord should spread abroad of the things He's doing in Faith Life Church and every believing church? Should the word get out? Oh man, there's stuff going on over there. There's healings and deliverances and miracles. God's the same. He hasn't changed. That's exactly what He wants. And so she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. Don't let this miss you. Don't let this get by. Say it out loud. I shall be.
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 Not I might. Not it could. Not if it's God's will. Not if this person's anointed enough. I shall be. I shall be. I shall be. How can she say that? How does she know that? Why is it recorded exactly what she said? Because the Lord is telling us, this is what you do. This is how you do it. Why could she say, I shall be whole? How did she know that? Well, everywhere Jesus had been going, every town, every meeting, there were no unlucky ones. Right? There were none that the Lord pulled aside and said, I'm sorry. God's working something out in your life. There were none. So why would she assume He's going to start with her? They all got healed. Why shouldn't she get healed? Oh, this is so important. I said, this is so important. I shall be healed. I shall be. If you can't say that, your faith is not there to receive. Now, that's not a knock, and it doesn't mean it's the end. It means you need to hear some more. Right? And you need to get stinking thinking out and religious interference out. And you need to settle the questions so that you can say, could we confidently, boldly tell somebody that's lost and they come down and say, I want to receive Jesus. I want to be saved. Could you say, come on down, pray with me. You shall be born again. You shall be saved. How can we say that so boldly? How can we? Where did you get that? Well, the same Bible says He forgives all your iniquities and He heals all your diseases. It's only the confusion of religious tradition that has gotten in the way. It is His will. Come on, somebody say, it is His will. It is His will. Just like you can receive Jesus and be born again and you can know that that's what will happen. You can receive forgiveness and know that you are forgiven. You can receive healing. If you can get the doubts out. If you can get rid of the questions. Get rid of the wavering and wondering and vacillating back and forth. I want to hear you say it.
It is His will.
It's always His will.
For me to be healed.
Hallelujah. Always. Always. She said. Well, somebody say she said. If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. And verse 27 said, when she heard about Jesus, she came in the press and touched. Then it tells you what she was doing as she was going. If you read Luke's account and other translations, she kept saying it while she was pushing through the crowd. If I just touch, if I just touch, I'm going to get it. I'll have it. I shall be. It will. When I touch, I shall. When I touch, I shall. Why when you touch? Y'all are quiet. It was the point of contact where her faith was released and made contact with the anointing of God. The anointing of God is just as real as the electricity flowing in these lines in the building to these lights and everything else. It is real. For centuries and centuries, human beings did not even know electricity existed, much less get any benefit out of it. They didn't know how to get it to flow. They didn't know how to make it work for them. But it had been in existence from the creation. And the same thing is true with God's power. I know my father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin, who's in heaven now, he had a special experience with the Lord in which the Lord told him, he said, I've called you and anointed you and given to you a special anointing to minister to the sick. And then he told him, he said, this will not work unless you tell the people what I've told you. Now, did you hear that? It won't work. But the Lord give you something that won't work?
Yes, sir.
It won't work unless you do this. He said, unless you tell the people. Why would that be required? Because if you don't tell it, they can't hear it. And if they don't hear it, there'll be no faith. Come on, can you see this? You got to hear to have faith. He said, this will not work unless you tell the people. And Brother Hagin said, when he told him that, he thought, Lord, am I going to have to go through this whole thing every time? And he said, the Lord, no, tell them this, that you saw me, that I ministered this to you. Tell them that if they'll believe this, that is, believe you're anointed, that through the law of contact and transmission, the contact of your hand will transmit God's healing power and drive out evil things and effect a healing or a cure in you. Oh, that's what was happening here. And that's what happened in Jesus' name. It happened in the early days of the church through the apostles and through the prophets. It's continued to happen through every successive generation of people who believe in it. People who doubt it, scoff, mock at it, will not be bothered by it. But these signs will follow believers. And one of the signs is they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Why lay hands? Why does that matter? Why plug it in the receptacle? Why does that matter? There's got to be Contact. Oh, somebody say contact. There's got to be contact. And that's what Brother Hagin used to say. Now I lay my hands on you in obedience to the law of contact and transmission. The contact of my hand transmits God's healing power to you. If you'll believe that and receive that anointing, it'll go into you. It'll drive out evil things, and it'll affect a healing or a cure in you. We're talking about the ministry of Jesus that has never changed, that has never altered. People have ignored it. They've forgotten it. They've taught against it, but he didn't go anywhere, and he has not changed, and I, for one, believe it now. Do you? How'd this woman receive? She knew. I got to make contact. That's where her faith was at. And that's where she's going to release her faith. And so she said, first of all, she heard. Then she said, if I just touch, I shall be. I shall be. I shall be. When, if you're going to be prayed for, hands laid on you, or a prayer of agreement, or whatever the case might be, you got to be settled enough beforehand to say, when I touch or when I am touched, I shall receive.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, yes, sir.
Well, we'll see. Well, you're not ready. I shall receive. Well, I hope so. I'll just see what happens. No, no. You're not ready. But I'm preaching to you, so you will be ready. And all you got to do is make a choice and say, okay, I see it, Brother Keith. I'll quit asking questions. Huh? I'll quit doubting it. I'll stop questioning it and say, yes, it is God's will for me to be healed. And I can receive at any point, at any time. Lost people all over this planet are not waiting on Jesus to save them. They're not waiting on God's timing. No, they're not. The price has been paid. Salvation has been bought. Redemption's been offered and given. It's up to them. Many of us didn't receive Jesus as Lord the first time that we heard the gospel. That, you gonna say it wasn't God's will? You had to hear it another 50 times? Huh? It was only God's will for you to receive 10 years later, 15 years later? No, no. It was always God's will for you to receive. And the problem wasn't he was waiting to do something. It was a failure to receive. A procrastination, a doubting, a questioning. It was a problem on the receiving end, not the giving end. I'm a receiver. You need receivers in the house? I'm a receiver. She said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. Huh. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, walking by sight is not going to believe anything's happened until you feel it. Then it'll say something. Then it'll do something, but that's way too late for faith. She said something before she felt anything. And she did something before. Oh, come on, can you see it? She felt anything. She said, if I touch, I shall be whole. She pressed. She touched. She received. Then she felt. Feeling was the last thing to happen. Right? If you're focused on feeling, you'll miss it. Because why? You're not going to believe it. There's a phrase I want to caution you about. It's become popular in our circles, but it's a dangerous phrase. Waiting on the manifestation. Waiting on the manifestation. What does that mean? Is it the same as waiting on the healing? Is it the same as waiting on God to do it? You hear how quiet it is? I know. But what does it mean? If you're waiting on something to happen, do you believe you've already received it? You see what I'm saying? No, and this is not about seeing something. It's not about feeling something. It's about when you pray, believe that you receive them. Not feel that you see it. Not see that you see it. Not have a doctor's report about it. That's why you got to believe it. Because you don't see it. And you don't feel it. But you believe that you receive. How did she receive anointing straight off of Jesus' clothes? How did she do it? She believed that when she touched, it was going to happen. Is that right? Yeah. And so when she touched, she's expecting something. Yeah. Oh, come on. Can you see that? Yeah. She's expecting. Yeah. And when she did, man, power manifested. Yes, glory to God. And immediately she could feel it in her body. But that was after all the other things. The feelings came last. Beware of that phrase. And examine yourself. If you believe you have received, what would you be waiting on? When are you going to believe you've got it? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
With so many times, even church-going people, when they see it, they'll believe they've got it. They're trying to use different language to hide that, but that's where they are. Well, when is God going to do it? Wrong question. Wrong question. He's already done it. He's already paid for it. It's a receiving issue. Not a pleading with God to do it. It's not a will of God issue. It's a receiving issue. And the Lord didn't tell you to make your body change. That's not your job. Thank God. Huh? He didn't tell you you had to see something or feel something. What did He tell you? You must believe that you receive it.
Yes.
Not feel it, not see it. Believe that you take it. She believed she received it before she felt anything. Oh, come on, can you see that? You can tell that by what she said and what she did. This is what faith is all about. That's why you got to believe you receive it. Because you don't feel it. You don't see it. And then you're not waiting on something. You believe you've got it. Oh, come on, help me out. Huh? And so what do? You thank God instead of fuss at God to hurry up and do something. That means if you're mad at God, if you're upset with God because you think He's taking too long, then you have not believed you received. You're kidding yourself. You know, it shouldn't be too hard for us to figure out the problem's not with God. Can we agree on this? Huh? Huh? I mean, if somebody came and told you, I've been wanting to be saved for 20 years. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I don't know why God is waiting on. What is God waiting on? I'm just waiting on the manifestation for my new birth. No, you're not. You don't believe you've received. And you're not waiting on God to save you.
Yeah, that's right.
The Lord does not have to do any other one thing about our healing. He went to the whipping post. Come on, are you with me? He took our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses. He carried our pains. He bought it. He paid for it long before we were ever born. And by His stripes, we were and are healed. Not waiting on anything. So it's up to us to do what? Come on, help me out. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Not beg, not plead, receive it. But the receiving's not based on seeing or feeling or reports. Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire, when you pray, huh? Do what? Believe, not see, not feel, Faith is the substance of things expected or hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's when you don't see something, that's when it's time for faith. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. What does that mean? You'll experience it and see it just like she did. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague after she heard, believed, pressed, touched, received.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Then she felt. Come on, can you see this? Can you see this? Straightway, the fountain or the hemorrhage in her of her blood was dried up, just like that. What, 12 years of surgeries and procedures, and nothing could touch and help. It just kept getting worse after everything, just like that. It just stopped by the power of God. And she could feel it then. She could feel inside herself that no more hemorrhage. Hallelujah. After 12 years. Just because something's been that way a long time does not mean it's God's will for it to stay that way. Does not mean you've been waiting on Him either.
That's right.
No. So, Jesus immediately, at the same time, knowing, not wondering, in Himself that virtue, that's the word for power, had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Touched. Touch. Everybody say touched. Touched. Man, this is in the scripture. This was not just a one-time event with her. Listen to these. Matthew 14:35. When the men of that place had knowledge of Him, they brought to Him all that were diseased and besought Him that they might only touch the hem of His garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. It's a lot of people did the same thing she did. And I don't know. I'm sure after this happened, people heard about what happened with her. And so it just multiplied. And in Mark 6, Mark's account said they ran through the whole region and carried in beds those that were sick where they heard He was. And wherever He went, in villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the streets, blocked traffic, and besought Him that they might what? Touch, if it were, this is Mark 6:56, that they might touch, if it were, the border of His garment, and as many as touched Him were made whole. Oh, somebody say touch, touch, touch. Why? Why? Well, why plug it in? Contact. 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 Where your faith is released and anointing received. Luke's account. Luke 6:17. He came down with them and stood in the plain, the company of disciples, a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. Man, these are thousands of people, probably tens of thousands of people. They came to hear Him. That's the first thing. And be healed of their diseases. Somebody say, hear and be healed. Verse 18. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch Him, for there went virtue out of Him and healed them all. Whoo! No unlucky ones. None that had been just too bad or too mean. And sometimes it was the other way around. They were touching Him, and sometimes He was touching them. In Luke 4:40, it says, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with different diseases brought them to Him, and He laid His hands on every one of them and healed them. Them who? Every one of them. Glory to God. Does it still work that way today? Is it still true? Does it still happen this way? Is the anointing of God still real? Has God changed? No. Never has, never will. So notice back to Mark 5, that Immediately, verse 30, Jesus knew in himself that virtue or power had gone out. And he turned to the multitude and he said this to the whole crowd. Who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? And he was looking around to see her that had done this. Next verse. This is Young's literal. And the woman was afraid and trembling, knowing what was done in her. Now, friend, you got to see this. God the Father did not initiate this healing. Jesus did not initiate this healing. They're not having a service. They're not having a prayer line. They're not having a healing line. She didn't even ask anybody if it would be okay if she did this. She just came and took herself a healing. Hallelujah. Now you got to remember, Jesus is not operating in omniscience. He's not operating as God. He is, but the Bible said in Philippians, he has emptied himself of his mighty weight and glory and power and become like other men. That's why as a young child, he had to learn about the things of God. He learned the law. He learned the word. He grew. Did you hear that word?
Yep.
In wisdom. Well, you can't grow in wisdom if you're omniscient. But he's operating as a man. And I know this may sound strange, but when she touched him, it surprised him. Come on, you can see how he responded, right? It surprised him. What surprised him? Anointing moving. Is the anointing real? Oh, it's real. And Jesus did not all operate in this anointing all of his growing up. This is a recent development. When he was baptized in the River Jordan, you remember that? And he came out of the water, there appeared the Holy Spirit coming on him in a bodily shape and form as a dove. What's that? The anointing came on him. The Spirit came, and after the wilderness temptation, the Bible said he came out in the power of the Spirit. That's what the enemy was trying to stop so hard and trying to disrupt some way and derail some way, but he couldn't do it. And so the Bible tells us when Jesus would come into the synagogue, we have reason to believe he did this repeatedly, he would find the scroll of Isaiah and go to we call it the 61st chapter, it wasn't chapter and verse then, but he would read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now is the day of salvation. Today is God's accepted time." He'd close the book and say, "This day is this scripture fulfilled right here in your ears." What does that mean? The anointing is here. The anointing is here. That's why they wanted to touch him. Right? They heard, they wouldn't have known that. They wouldn't have believed that unless they had heard this and seen it. They heard it, they saw it, they saw it, they heard it, and that's why there's all this touching. Contact. Transmission. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, and his disciples said, "You see the multitude thronging you, and sayest thou, who touched me?" It wasn't just a touch. A lot of people brushed up against him. A lot of people bumped up against him. The Bible said they were thronging him. And it was a crowd that was just massive and squeezing and pushing. He was touched by who knows how many people. That's why they brought it up. They said, "Lord, how in the world would you know who of all?" Yeah, a lot of people have touched you. He said, "Nah, somebody touched me." Huh? It was a touch of a different kind. Right? It wasn't a curious touch. It wasn't an inquisitive, let's try and see something touch. In just a moment, we're going to have a laying on of hands. But now listen to me. Do not come down just to try something and see if you can feel something. That's disrespectful. Don't do that. You only come to receive for yourself. If it's a healing or a deliverance for yourself.
Yes, sir.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Please be respectful of the things of God. This is not something you play with. It's not something you toy with. And so you want to listen to the instructions and respond correctly, because the Lord is not going to be involved in a falseness or a pretend. He's not going to cooperate with that. In fact, you could get in trouble for that. So enough said. But when she saw she couldn't be hid, she came and fell down before him and told him all the truth and what she did. Hallelujah. And what did he say to her? Verse 34. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. Tell me what she said in the beginning. What'd she say? I shall be whole. What did he say? Your faith did what? Exactly what she said. Oh, come on. Can you see this? What she said. Of all the things the master could have said and all that religion has changed it to, he could have said, daughter, the anointing on me has healed you. He didn't say that. I said he didn't say that. Why? Because if it was just the anointing, everybody that contacted would have had a manifestation of that power. No. He could have said, daughter, be of good comfort. You know, it was God's timing. He could have said, daughter, you've been such a good person.
No.
No. No,
sir.
No, why? Because that's not the determining factor. People have emphasized the will of God. That's wrong. They've emphasized the power of God. That's wrong. They've emphasized if they've been good enough or not. Let me help you with that. You have not. Just quit bothering about that. If that's what you're trying to get it by, you don't qualify. Neither do I. Which is why Jesus had to come. He had to come and buy it for us and just give it to us, because we couldn't earn it. We couldn't get there. Oh, but I can receive a free gift and say thank you. Yes, I can. Can you? He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Why do you have to say that to her? Because, again, she didn't ask. She just came and grabbed her a healing and thought she would just slip back out of the crowd. Nobody would be the wiser. She's over there smiling, feeling so good, like the cat that got the canary. And then she looks up and he has stopped. She went, uh-oh. And then he's looking around saying, who touched me? She's like, oh, God. Oh, And if you read the other accounts, he looked at everybody and it says when they all denied. So it took a few minutes. He's looking around going, who touched me? Who touched me? And everybody's going, no, wasn't me. He looked her way and everybody's going, uh-uh. It got uncomfortable and his disciples said, Lord, what do you mean? They're telling how many people have touched you the last half mile. He said, I'm telling you, somebody touched me. Because he perceived that anointing go out. Are these things real or are they real? And this is happening with him as a man. Not as God. Though he was, it is. And so she saw he's not going to leave. And so she came and fell down in front of him. And that's why he said, be of good comfort. Because for all she knows, he's going to say, hey, you did not ask for that. I want it back. He had to comfort her. He said, daughter. I'm paraphrasing. Great. Good. Be comforted. I'm happy for you. Huh? And here's what did it. Not the will of God. Come on, are you with me? The power of God did the work, but it wasn't just the power of God. It wasn't because of how good she was. Your faith has made you whole. Hallelujah. Exactly what came out of her mouth on the way over there to touch him. Woo, somebody stand up on your feet. Stand up. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Go ahead and play, guys. Thank you, Lord. 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 Lift your hands. Lift your thanks. Say, I'm a believer. I believe in God. I believe in the power of God. I believe in the will of God. Ah, thank you, Lord, for faith. Faith, faith, karapesti. What are you thinking about singing?